As we think this morning about Jesus stilling the storm, let me tell you about a storm that occurred on June the 8th, 1958. The Edmund Fitzgerald, a ship, was launched into the waters of Lake Superior from the Great Lakes Engineering Works in Michigan, America. Ship was launched. Thousands of people were there for the launch. It was the largest vessel ever to have ploughed the waters of the Great Lakes border Canada and United States. The Great Lakes are the largest freshwater body in the world, an area about the same area as Great Britain. So it's no surprise to the people who live and work on those lakes that bad storms are a frequent occurrence. And then the Lake Superior was experiencing the worst storm for many years. Gale force winds, 80, 100 miles an hour, whipping the lake up. Waves were hitting shipping, and the waves were three stories high. Men say, who are on the lake, say it was like a wrecking balls hitting the sides of the ship. And the Edmund Fitzgerald was making its way from Wisconsin to Detroit. But shortly after 7 o'clock in the evening, the 700-foot hull of the Edmund Fitzgerald bent and then snapped like a twig. And it just snapped into two, plunged 500 feet to the bottom. All 29 men on board died. Some say the ship sank in 10 seconds. That was the force of the storm that night. So of all the natural phenomena in the world, the sea is perhaps one of the most powerful. Those who know the sea well, I was brought up near the sea. You give the sea a healthy respect. You don't treat it lightly. No one controls the forces of nature when they're unleashed in a storm at sea. Well, we've read this morning in the Bible, a sudden windstorm was not unusual on the Sea of Galilee either. And it's because the Sea of Galilee is in a deep hollow, bounded on either side by steep ranges of hills. The sea itself, the lake, the Sea of Galilee, is nearly 700 feet below sea level. The hills to the east and west are about 2,000 feet above sea level. So there's a big difference in temperature from the top of the hills, these mountains, we might say, to the surface of the lake. And so when there's a storm, that difference in temperature causes windstorms that come sweeping down those hills. And in a moment then, the Sea of Galilee, which can be calm, like glass, suddenly is whipped up. Waves begin to rage and sprays of foam rise into the air. And Luke tells us there was a windstorm when Jesus and his disciples were crossing that lake in a small ship. And the storm was so fierce that the ship began to fill with water. And we can imagine the turmoil of the disciples who were trying to bail the water out of the ship. But for every bucketful they bailed out, two more were coming in. And the boat was filling with water, Luke says. They were in jeopardy. They were in trouble. And where was the Lord Jesus Christ? But as they sailed, Luke says, he fell asleep. So Luke is drawing to us this contrast. Here is the sea, the boat being tossed about like a cork in the water, the waves breaking in, a huge storm, thunder and lightning, disciples furiously trying to bail water out, and in the boat, Jesus fast asleep. So the disciples woke the Lord Jesus Christ. Master, Master, we are perishing. We're going to die, they say. And when the Lord Jesus awoke, he saw the faces of the disciples, blood drained from them, paralyzed with fear, the sea raging, waves, thunder, lightning, the boat filling with water. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. and they ceased, and there was a calm. So at the word of Jesus, that stormy sea was smooth as silk. From a windstorm to calm. Just the moonlight shimmering on the water. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples, "Where is your faith? Do you not have any faith in this situation?" Jesus is asking them, had he ever disappointed them before in a difficulty? Have there been any circumstances that he could not control in this storm? Have you no faith? And they were afraid, Luke says, and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This was an entirely new experience for the disciples. They had never seen anything like this before. Now, they were experienced fishermen, but they had never seen anything like this before. And Luke concludes, everyone was safe, but this unforgettable experience was embedded in the minds and hearts of the disciples. They had seen that no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of oceans and earth and skies. So let's think first of all about Jesus and the stilling of the storm. Because a very important question that Luke records for us. The disciples ask, Luke 8:25, "Who can this be? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? This man who was sound asleep when the storm was raging, and yet when they woke him up, could rebuke the wind and speak to the sea, and they recognize the voice of the Creator, and they obey him. Who is he?" Well, I say this passage tells us powerfully who Jesus is. The Bible tells us that he is the God-man, the Son of God. Luke never budges from that perspective in his gospel. The person and power of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And here's one of the eloquent testimonies to that. Luke tells us very powerfully here who Jesus really is. He is true man. Luke tells us on this day the Lord Jesus Christ was exhausted. He had poured himself out in body and soul and spirit. And in that journey across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus drifted off into a sleep so deep that even this windstorm didn't wake him up. Even the storm at its fury, Jesus was fast asleep. It was the sleep of an exhausted man. I don't know when you felt the most exhausted. These days, now and again, I sometimes think, after a day with 2 grandchildren and a dog, I'm pretty exhausted. But here's a man truly spent, exhausted, asleep. But it's also a picture to us of sinless humanity. Jesus is so committed in faith to his Father that he can sleep through a storm when the fishermen think they're going down. The ship is going to sink. They're going down to Davy Jones' locker. "Master, Master, we are perishing." But Jesus had pillowed his head, not just on a pillow in the boat, but pillowed his head on his Father's love and care and protection. So here's the sinless humanity of Jesus, true humanity, exhausted, but also sinless humanity, that he can sleep while there's a storm raging around him. But when we ask, who is Jesus then? This is who he is, Luke says. He's a true man. He's a human being. Like us, but without sin. Sometimes we feel tired and weary and exhausted. There are times when we feel we just can't go on. Well, Jesus felt that pressure and that weariness and the expenditure of energy to exhaustion. So when we're tempted to think God is infinite in power, how can he identify with us in our weakness, in our tiredness, in our exhaustion? We must remember we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. But we want a Savior not only who can sympathize, we need a Savior who himself had no sin, no original sin. And like all of us this morning here, Jesus Christ, born with no sin, that Holy One who was born. We come into this world born from our birth with our sin. We sin because we are sinners. But Jesus had no sin, no original sin, no sin of unbelief, no sin of mistrust. Sometimes we wonder, where is God? No sin of doubting. No, this is the Saviour who is sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled. If Jesus is going to die for our sins, he himself must have no sin. So Luke tells us here of the sinless humanity of the Saviour, the Son of God. He's a true man, but, says Luke, he is also true God. Here's a moving demonstration of the fact that Jesus Christ is true God. How does Luke begin his gospel? In the same way as all the other gospel writers, with a statement concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man. Matthew begins his gospel by saying to us, let me introduce a person to you who is Emmanuel, God with us. John tells us in his gospel, Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning, and the Word was face to face with God, and Jesus, the Word, himself is God. Mark starts his gospel by saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here's Luke announcing in the opening paragraphs of his gospel, Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Let me introduce Jesus to you, says Luke. An angel came to a woman called Mary and said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So when the disciples asked that question, who can this be? Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Who is Jesus? You see, you need to, I need to, we all need to answer that question this morning. No one here this morning, if there was a windstorm blowing outside, we could go out to the wind in the storm and say, I command the storm to stop. No one would think of doing that. If we were at sea in a ship and there was a storm, no one could go out on deck and say, I command the sea to be calm. Only God can speak like this to his creation. There's a king called King Canute. You heard of King Canute? Mm-hmm. Some of you have. King Canute, a long, long time ago, was the king of England. And he thought he could go down to the shore and command the water, the tide, the sea, to stop coming in. King Canute soon discovered he did not have any of that power. No, the tide kept coming in. King Canute couldn't order the sea to go back. But we read this morning, Psalm 107, the Lord, God, the Lord calms the storm so that its waves are still. And here, Luke tells us, creation recognized the voice of its sovereign Lord, its creator. So the picture Luke is setting before us is not of Jesus one with us in his sinless humanity. He is true man. But also here's someone who is God manifest in the flesh. Here's God speaking to the winds and the waves, and they obey him. And why is that important? Why do Christians, every Christian believes that Jesus is both true man and true God? Well, if you've ever felt the weight of your sinfulness, this is the great truth we need to hear. that in the Lord Jesus Christ, true humanity is joined to true deity, so that you can trust a Saviour who has all the power of God, and yet will be a real substitute for you and for me. For you, if you will trust in him. He lived the perfect life we cannot live. He died the death we deserve to die. God sent his Son into the world that you might have a Saviour. That his perfect righteousness can be put to your account by faith. This is good news for us. Jesus is the God-man who has come into this world to save a sinner like you and me. How do you answer that question this morning then? Who is Jesus? Who is this? Jesus and the stilling of the storm. Luke is saying Jesus has all the power of God, and yet he's a true man, as our substitute can die for our sins. Jesus and the stilling of the storm. Secondly, the disciples and the stilling of the storm. Who led the disciples into that storm? Luke 8, verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. Did the Lord Jesus Christ know what he was getting the disciples into? Yeah, sure he did. He knew they would encounter this storm. Many features of this storm resonate with us. Storms hit suddenly, without warning. William Shakespeare summed them up, "The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune," he said. I don't know when you woke up this morning, whether you heard the news report. There was a fatal accident in South London reported in the news this morning. A man left his home yesterday on his moped. He didn't think, he never imagined that he had just minutes to live. Hit by a speeding car. But his family didn't say goodbye to him that afternoon, imagining that they would never be able to talk to him again. Life's storms are like that. Right now, you may be in plain sailing. But in a moment, a storm can arise. And such a storm tests and develops your character. Hudson Taylor was the founder of the China Inland Mission. And he was talking to a young missionary who'd come to work in China. Hudson Taylor said to him, "Look at this." He had some teacups. I hope I don't actually cause it trouble here. But he pounded his fist. And see, this is jumping a bit. He pounded his fist like that on the table. And the teacups on the table jumped and spilt the tea. And the startled young man wondered what was going on. What was Hudson Taylor doing? "When you begin your work," said Taylor to him, "you will be buffeted. You'll be bumped. The trials will be like blows. Remember, those blows will bring out what is in you. If you don't spend time with the Lord in the calm of life, you won't know how to trust him in the storms." You may say, "Everything is calm in my life at the moment." Learn how to trust Jesus Christ in the calm. Because all of a sudden, a storm might blow up. Here were obedient believers serving the Lord Jesus Christ when they launched that boat out onto the Sea of Galilee. The storm didn't hit the disciples because they were being disobedient. The storm hit them even though they were obedient. Jesus had said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And these men who had committed their lives to serve Jesus Christ obeyed him, and they headed out into the lake and they hit a storm. And you may be obediently serving the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and you might hit a storm that you'd have avoided if you'd stayed on the shore. I found several times the times of testing often come just after you take a new step of obedience. And in reality, the Lord Jesus Christ is with those disciples in that ship when the lake was calm and in the storm. Because Jesus promises to be with his people even when sometimes it feels to us as though he's not there. But he's teaching us to learn to trust him. Before the disciples ever called on him, Jesus was there with them in the boat. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised you this morning, whether you're plain sailing on in a storm, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not even tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think that as Jesus tests the faith here of the disciples, can you see there are glimmers of faith here? Because the disciples had previously heard and seen Jesus Christ do amazing things. You see, there is an initial faith. If you're not a Christian this morning, here this morning, there is an initial faith where you believe upon Jesus Christ. You entrust your heart and soul and life to him. You cry out to him for forgiveness of sin. And you begin to follow him. But then there's growing faith. Developing faith. Maturing faith. Have you noticed what Luke is saying here? What had been Jesus' trade? Jesus was an apprentice. What was he brought up? An apprentice what? And you'd say to me, well, an apprentice carpenter. The disciples in the boat, most of them, what were they? Experienced fishermen. And now these experienced fishermen are losing their head. They'd been in many storms on that lake, probably. But now these experienced fishermen were at the end of their wits. They're saying, we're perishing. We've had it. We're going down. We're going to die. And when you're an experienced fisherman and your boat is in trouble, you don't usually call a carpenter. So you see, there are glimmers of faith here. Why did they wake the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they have some inkling that Jesus could do something? When all their experts, all their efforts as expert fishermen had failed, perhaps he could do something. We can't forget what we saw him do in the synagogue when he cast the demon out of the possessed man. We can't forget what he did when he took the hand of Peter's mother-in-law and healed her. We can't forget the miraculous fish catch when he told us to launch out into the deep and let down our nets. We can't forget the healing of that paralyzed man who was let down through the roof. So you see, there are glimmers of faith here. The faith of the disciples is being tested. But you see how firmly but graciously Jesus deals with them. Master, Master, we are perishing, they say. But notice what Jesus says to them. Where is your faith? Jesus could see they were held in the paralysis of a faith that was being tested. And when our faith is tested, sometimes we say rash things. In our fear, we say foolish, stupid, unwise things sometimes. Where is your faith? See, we are not Stoics. We are not Christian computers programmed to take everything in our stride. Our bodies feel pain. Our bodies feel weariness. We have a nervous system that feels under stress sometimes. Sometimes it buckles under pressure. We have minds and psychologies which are vulnerable to fear and regret and sorrow and anxiety. So I think we delude ourselves if we imagine, if we'd been in that boat with a windstorm and the water filling the boat, we would have just been calm and cool. No way. No way. I think we would have been no different from the disciples. We see here the disciples placed by God's providence in a situation of immense pressure. And we watch them buckling and panicking. Master, Master, we're perishing. And we say, thank you, Lord, for showing us that sometimes you allow your children, yeah, they buckle, they bend in the face of a storm. There are God's people this morning in storms in Afghanistan, in China, in Nigeria, in Pakistan, in Syria. They cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they hold on in faith. And on the resurrection morning, we shall all acknowledge, but perhaps not till then. But on the resurrection morning, it was good for me that I was afflicted. We'll be able to thank God for every storm. But isn't it wonderful to have a Saviour who knows the true intention of the human heart when that heart has faith? Yes, it's weak faith, perhaps. It's buckling, but there was something in these men that caused Jesus to say, "Don't you have enough faith to believe? Where is your faith to believe that if I am with you, even that all things are working together for your good?" Isn't that the struggle in our hearts sometimes? The struggle of faith. So we find consolation and hope and encouragement. There was buckling, struggling faith in these disciples, and yet they know where to go. Master, do you have a Saviour? You can cry to him. Master, Lord, help me. Lord, if you will be with me, then all is working together for my good. And nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So I'm saying this morning, is he with you? Do you know this Saviour? Is he with you? If you don't know him, cry out to him. He will draw near. By his word and spirit, he draws near. Cry out to him. Is he with you? When the storm hits, will he be with you? Jesus and the stilling of the storm. The disciples and the stilling of the storm. And then thirdly, the Christian life and the stilling of the storm. Here's a principle in the Christian life. Sometimes we feel as if Jesus is asleep. When we're in the midst of threatening, difficult, pressured circumstances. But we read here, Jesus was biding his time to show his power. From the full fury of that storm to that mega calm. We have to get that into our hearts this morning. You may get into a situation where you feel, my life, everything is sinking. I can't keep afloat, can't keep going. I'm going under. A storm rages, spiritual storm, emotional, work, family, illness, bereavement, storm, bang, it hits. Corrie ten Boom, who's the author of The Hiding Place, a survivor of the German concentration camps, said that people often came up to her and said, "Corrie, what great faith you have." And she would smile and respond, "No," she said, "what a great God I have." Amen. What a great God I have. Do you know this great God? In our trials, we cry out to a great God. That's not just empty psychology. That's believing what God himself has said. Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2, where God says to his people, "Fear not." It's one of the great commands of the Bible, the most repeated one in the whole Bible, I think. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Now we start there. I have redeemed you. Do you know God's redeeming power and grace and love in your life through faith in Jesus Christ? You can say, "I've been redeemed. I've been saved. I've been forgiven. I've redeemed you," God says. "I've called you by name. You are mine." Now here's something to believe, to get hold of. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you," says God. Here are the disciples in the storm. The Lord was with them. "And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you." So if you're in a storm this morning, it may be that God reminds you not to trust in yourself, your own efforts, your own powers. All of us by nature, we're so seen as distorted things, we would rather trust in ourselves than cry out to Jesus Christ. Sometimes God allows a storm to rage fiercely so that we do cry out to Jesus Christ for help. Are you too proud to cry out to Jesus Christ this morning in a storm? Maybe a storm is the only thing that will bring you to God. But whether you cry out to Jesus Christ in the midst of a storm or whether everything is plain sailing this morning, it's only Jesus Christ who can bring real peace to the human heart. He intervenes. Peace, be still, he says. The raging wind, peace, be still. The raging sea, peace, be still. And Jesus can, like that, still the storm. And his great work is not just the wind raging and the stormy sea, but the storm that rages in the heart and belief, the storm of the pressure that's there this morning. So when we face threatening circumstances, we can cry out to a Saviour, a great God who will show his power. May God help us to pray that into our hearts and then by grace to live it out in our lives. Do you know this mighty Saviour this morning? I'm saying, how can you face life without him? Storms will come. One day the great and final storm will sweep down the valley of the shadow of death. How will you face the valley of the shadow of death, that great windstorm? Don't face it without a Saviour. Don't face it without a Saviour who can bring you peace in that storm. Don't face it without a companion who will be with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord with his people. But will he be with you when that storm hits? Will you have a friend, Jesus, the friend of sinners? Don't face that storm without him. Cry out to him this morning, this mighty Saviour. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you, we thank you this morning for this mighty Saviour, Jesus Christ, in the storms that hit us in this life, and one day that great final storm will come. Oh, what it is to know the peace of God in the midst of the storm, because there is a Saviour who has made peace for his people by the blood of his cross. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus, that you can speak peace this morning to every heart. Those who have never done so before, to know peace, forgiveness, justified before God through faith in Jesus Christ. Some, Lord, at the moment, their lives are plain sailing. Teach us to learn what it is to trust you at that time. And for some, Lord, the storm is even raging now. And we pray that in the midst of the storm, there will be those who cry out to Jesus Christ, Master, Lord, Saviour. Save me. And Lord, we thank you that you never turn away anyone who comes to you like that. So we pray, hear us this morning, Lord. We come to you now. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, we stay sitting for our final hymn. us receive the Lord's benediction. Let's pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's believing people this morning, in whose hearts the Lord Jesus Christ has sprung up. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Know the sovereign keeping power of the gracious God of heaven, God of covenant, God of mercy, God of grace. We worship before you. Receive our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.